Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:18 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 3rd. A relatively quiet day today in the US and in Europe, but in Asia, the Nikkei was up over almost 4%, and that really was the real headline setter today. In just a quick review of what's been happening in stock markets, you have the Dow and the S&P finishing down less than 1% today. The Canadian index TSX comp was down just over 1%, and it was relatively mixed in Europe, neither up nor down very much. But in Asia this morning, you had the Nikkei up really quite substantially, and this is speaking to short covering as the Nikkei finds support in the last week or so. And I wrote about Japan on Monday and Tuesday, and it found support at the in the region of its 200-day moving average, and that also marked the upper side of the base. And the topics banks found support in the region of the March lows, and that also marked the 2003 lows. The yen has also weakened somewhat. And this is all on the back of it's following some really very bearish sentiment towards Japan, particularly over the last couple of months. And there were certainly short positions in there because Japan has been underperforming by such a wide margin compared to the rest of the equity markets generally. However, you now have the government and the Bank of Japan saying that the economy is recovering, that they were thinking about removing some of the stimulus, but that they're actually leaving it in there in order to support stock markets and attempt to talk and actually bring down the value of the yen, which suggests that if happiness in the currency markets is having the trend and the central bank on your side, well, you don't have the central bank on your side anymore in Japan. They're starting to do things to bring down the strength of the currency, and there's no good reason why the yen should be so strong in the current environment. And you have the government beginning to attempt to support the stock market, and that is now transforming into some short covering, and this was really quite an impressive upward dynamic by the Nikkei, and it would need to drop by more than almost 1,000 points to offset scope for a further rally towards the upper side of this range, which is increasingly looking like a first step above the base. The banks outperformed very mildly last week, finding support. They rallied faster than the wider market. So this is a move that's being led by banks, and probably Mizuho is indicative of the sector generally and has done quite well. And this does look like it has further to run. We look a little bit wider in Asia. The vast majority of markets are otherwise ranging with a mild upward bias. We continue to see that the vast majority have been ranging for much of the last 4 months, and they've unwound much of the overbought condition that had been built up in the rally from March through to June and July. And they are really quite close to their recovery highs. Singapore is probably the closest, and you're one of the better performers. Indonesia is still really very close to its recovery highs, and indeed its all-time highs. It's one of the few markets that has actually retraced the vast majority of the decline from last year. And you have to look into Latin America to find a number of more markets that have retraced the vast majority of last year's decline. Brazil was marginally weaker in here today, but it's up around 68,000, and this most recent range has been relatively similar sized. Of course, these ranges are already quite large. The most recent was in the region of 7,000 points, which is a little more than 10% of the market. So we have to allow for pullbacks of more than 10% of the market, and in the normal course of a market like Brazil's uptrend. In other words, we have to tailor the stop tactics to the individual market. A 10% stop in something like the US would be, would probably be considerably too much for the majority of investors. But in some of these emerging markets, which have had such remarkable moves to the upside, in local currency terms, Brazil is up 81% this year, and in US dollar terms, up 144%. So in that type of environment, 10% stop, and sorry, more than a 10% stop, a 10% reaction is really quite normal and to be expected. Today was also a relatively steady day for the dollar, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion, and it was relatively unchanged against a large number of these currencies. It was exactly unchanged against the Australian dollar, a little bit weaker against the euro, a little bit stronger against the pound, and a little bit stronger against the Canadian dollar. This downtrend for the dollar remains very much in place, with a well-defined progression of lower rally highs, and provided that remains the case, the likelihood that we're going to have any kind of very bearish activity in risk type assets remains relatively low, because we have this carry trade developing, and nothing short of a larger rally in the US dollar is likely to deter people who are entering into these carry trades from doing so. Today was also an interesting day in the wider commodity field. Gold was a little bit weaker, and silver closed back below $19, and platinum continues to hover around the $1,500 level. So we're getting a little bit of backing and filling. With the silver, platinum, and palladium charts, it's the progression of higher reaction lows are by far the most important consistency characteristic. With gold, it's holding above this $1,200 level really very well and has sustained the upward break, and we're getting a little bit of backing and filling. But this remains a very bullish environment. In the elsewhere in the commodity sector, coffee today was in the region of 145 cents, and that's the highest close coffee's had in a year, and this is looking like really quite impressive activity. Cocoa has also pushed upwards to make new recovery highs, or to threaten those recovery highs. So we're seeing that the soft commodity sector is selectively firming. The soybeans, which have been weak over the last couple of days, steadied somewhat in here above the $10 level, and corn was a little bit weaker but remains above the $4 level. So the grains are still quite steady as well. And lumber, which has had an absolutely storming performance over the last couple of weeks, was a little bit weaker yesterday and a little bit weaker in here today as well, so unwinding some of the short-term overbought condition. But it has broken a five-year progression of lower highs, so the bear market is probably over, and it is either completing a base formation or is in the latter stages of base formation completion. And the chances are that even though we have this wide contango in lumber, that it is probably going to be higher a few months from now. When we look at the bond markets, gilts and bunds are pulling back from the upper sides of their ranges, and US treasuries are back down to the 120 level. We continue to see this broad ranging pattern in the vast majority of these treasury markets, and they haven't been able to sustain an upward break for a while, and that's probably at least in part due to the firmness of risk assets. And if we were to see a stronger dollar rally, that would probably transfer also into a little bit more strength in the government bond markets. Longer term, it's very difficult to make a very bullish case for these government bonds. We've had an almost 30-year bull market, and they're expensive, and there is an increasing amount of supply, and if that's not a recipe for lower prices over a period of time, then I really don't know what is. But putting all of this together, we remain within this bullish environment, which has been going strong since March, We're heading in towards the end of the year with the majority of indices within striking distance of their recovery highs, and a lot of them have been ranging for much of the last few months and unwinding part of that overbought condition that had developed, and everything remains really quite sanguine and broadly supportive of the bull market hypothesis. Monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative, and we're beginning to see central banks talking about how they might remove some of that stimulus by tightening up the conditions under which they're willing to lend to the financial institutions that are milking the amount of liquidity that they're allowing through the discount window. But they're not talking about raising interest rates, and they remain terrified of deflation, and their number one aim is to promote inflationary tendencies. And with that in mind, they could broadly be treat a an advance in commodity prices a little bit more sanguine, or be more sanguine about a move in a larger move in commodity prices, because it could help to defer that deflationary fear that they've got. So they're going to be, they've told us that they're going to be very gradual in their policies. They're talking about how they're going to remove some of the stimulus. They haven't actually made very great inroads in actually doing that yet, and they'll see how it goes. And if it looks like the global economy can't stand on its own feet, well, then the stimulus is going to stay in the system for that bit longer. And if that remains the case, then the carry trades that have been put in place will remain there and will increasingly be leveraged up. And that is currently the status quo, and nothing has occurred to change it just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.